All right. Thank you guys very, very much. So, we are pleased to have Eric and his wife Ellen here with us. They are staying with the Brubakers. Came in here last night for part of the auction, and we're excited to do, and found out that he actually knows some other people that are here. Some of our folks have served on Children's Aid Society board, but he also knows some other folks that he didn't know were here when we came, and I didn't know anything about this. It's a small world, isn't it? You know, what is that deal that we all know Kevin Bacon or something like that? There's like six degrees or something like that? I don't quite understand that, but maybe Kevin will show up at some point. I don't know. But Eric, would you come on up and preach to us this morning and give us the word? And just, I didn't really give you much of an introduction, so you tell people, you know, the important stuff about yourself. And you can stand up here, you can stand down here, you can stand on your head, whatever you want to do. It's all yours. We're about the same size, right? So, you know, whatever we...
Yeah, he's taller than we can see him.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that, brother. Would you like to buy a sign, Mike? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, tough act to follow, huh? Wow. Expectations are high. Let me tell you a little bit about the Chases, if I can, first. My wife, Ellen, is with me, and I just want to thank the Brubaker B&B for the great hospitality they provided us last night. And for the baking skills of Jane Mass for her rhubarb pie, it was excellent. So good thing Jim got it, that's all I can say. But I'll tell you a little bit about us. I'm Eric Chase, and my wife Ellen, who is my high school sweetheart, we've been married over 27 years. Of those 27 years, her mother, my mother-in-law, has lived with us 14 of those years. So that gets me a place among the saints somewhere. And no, she's wonderful, she's 90 years old, and we love having her with us. As what happens in life, Eric and, you know, Janet is on our board, Eli was on our board, Jim is on our board. So we have a lot of connections to you, even though we don't have a facility in this community yet. Know what I said, yet. But what we do with the Chase family, this weekend I was scheduled to be here all weekend with you. And of course, as children can be, our 24-year-old got a new job in New Jersey. And he decided this is the weekend we're going to move. So yesterday, I drove a 15-foot U-Haul, or Friday U-Haul, through the Nor'easter in the Poconos to New Jersey. We did get there. We unloaded it. We got the U-Haul there, but it was quite the trip. And then on the way back here yesterday, coming to your auction, Ellen and I decided to get off in Bartonsville because we grew up in Scranton, and we thought, Poconos, lots there. We pull in, and everything's dark. We're like, did the Poconos shut down? What happened? No one had power. So we're looking for, like, for a place to eat or grab something quick. And so it was an interesting journey back here. But you may or may not know, and what Eric was alluding to, is I was the scout executive in this area when I worked for the Boy Scouts about 6 years ago, 8 years ago, for Susquehanna Council. So I met some of my scouting friends that are here in this room also. So kind of serendipitous how the world brings us back together. Then we find out last night, Naomi's sister is at an Indian Rock, which is like a half a mile from our house. So, like, talk about how God connects us. So we have two sons, a 20-year-old Luke, 24-year-old Andrew. We live in Dallastown, Pennsylvania, up by York, or over by York, or down by York, somewhere by York. And we also have a 14-year-old dachshund named Champ. And we have a magnet on our refrigerator that says, the dog owns the house, the people pay the mortgage. And that's very true. But this morning, enough about the Chases. I want to speak to you a little bit, and I want to tell you a story of two little boys. Not my two little boys, but two little boys. And they lived in a town, a very small town, very similar to Mifflinburg. And these two boys, if I may use the term, were notorious. They were well-known around the town. And if something was going on in the town that wasn't quite right, this 8 and 10-year-old probably had something to do with it. And finally, like so many parents, when you don't know what to do with children, they are just getting into trouble all the time, what do? Yeah, invite the pastor in to talk to them, right? Right? Invite the pastor in to talk to him. So this family invited the pastor in to talk to these two little boys. And he decided he was going to talk to the 8-year-old first. And he gets them in the room and he says, son, where is God? And the little boy looks at him perplexed, and he's like, I don't know. And the pastor again said, "Son, I asked you a question. Where is God?" Boy got all nervous, and then the pastor said, "Son, where is God?" And the boy got so excited that he ran away and ran into the closet in his room. And his brother saw him running down the hall, and the 10-year-old went after him and jumped in the closet and he said, "What's going on? What did they ask you?" And he said, "I don't know, but God seems to be missing, and they think we had something to do with it." I got to turn my clicker on here. I want to turn first to the Psalms, if I can, and read to you a scripture from Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5a. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man or submit woman in there whose quiver is full of them." I think that this is an Old Testament scripture that just tells us that children are a heritage. They're from the Lord. And the Children's Aid Society has been around. Can anybody tell me since when? Does anybody know? 35 years. You think 35 years? Let's see. Why can't I? 105. That is correct. What did I do to this thing, Eric? Help. 105 years. We were started in 1913. We've been serving children for over 105 years. And it started out of a gathering of a district conference in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I'm just not technically savvy. In Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, a district conference, the Church of the Brethren challenged churches across the district to serve children. And there was one woman, Frances Miller Leiter, who took that to heart. And she went back to her church, and she started taking children, not her own, into her home. And then she began placing them with other church families, the early foster care system. And then out of that, because she took in this whole thought of what children are worth and started bringing them in, they started an orphanage in Carlisle, and then a children's home. And we have documents where parents who in the early 20s, late 19s, early 20s, could no longer take care of their children and would surrender them. I have a 20 and a 24-year-old, and trust me, there are days I'd like to surrender my children to someone. But I just don't know if I could surrender my children just to an agency. We have records of twins that were separated at birth because the family could only care for one, and the twin was put into our care. So Mrs. Leiter did this, and this went on probably till the mid-40s, early 50s, and then regulations of the state came along, and the organization was no longer able to maintain itself as an orphanage, as a children's home, because of all of the state regulations. So the properties were sold, the money was put into an escrow account, and it just sat there. And then finally, about 30-some-odd years ago, the district started to give grants away to people that were serving children's organizations and continued to serve. And then about 30 years ago in Chambersburg, we started the Frances Leiter Center. And then about a year later, we started the Knight Carey Center. And about a year later, we started the Lehman Center in York. And I'll tell you a little more about each one of those. This is kind of the scripture that everything is based on today, and it's called The Little Children in Jesus. And if you look at Mark 10, 13 to 16. If you want to look, and we'll read this together if you would with me. "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter into it.' And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." I just want to call your attention to a couple words in here, and I bold it one. The disciples rebuked them. Many of us don't use that term today. We don't walk around and saying, I rebuke you, do we? But if you look up rebuke in the dictionary, it means to like point out, to say, don't do that. Point your finger at someone. And the disciples were rebuking the people that were bringing the children to Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, he was indignant. Think about that. He was indignant. Indignant appears in the Bible about 11 other times. When Jesus got angry with the Pharisees. So Jesus was angry. He was indignant with the disciples at the same time and the same place that he was with the Pharisees when they were doing things in the temple, in God's holy place. He was indignant. He was angry because the disciples were saying, don't let the children come. And he said this, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. And I think about the Children's Aid Society and who we are as an organization now, 105 years later, from that day when Mrs. Leiter sat in a pew like many, or in a chair like many of you, and just said, I need to do something. I need to welcome the children in. I need to let them come to me. And that's why when I saw on your screen this morning that said, kids can stay in worship and make a joyful noise in the back and cry and whatever, that is exactly what we're called to do, to let the children come to us. And what happens is, in this scripture, not only does he tell them that they need to let them come, but he says, truly, like, if Jesus was here today and he was talking to us and Jesus said something, would you be like, hey, Jesus, is that really the truth? Is that really the truth you're telling me? But he felt with the disciples, he had to say, put that word in there and say, truly, this is the truth. I'm telling you this. This is so true that no one will receive the kingdom of God unless you enter it like a child. We're all children of God. But then he did something more. He not only said that and didn't say let them come and pat them on the head and send them on their way. No, he took the children and he put them in his arms and he placed them on his knee and he blessed them. Our vision is that all children are safe and feel loved. And if you want to insert a word in there, put all God's children are safe and feel loved. And our mission is helping children and their family build stronger, healthier lives through compassionate and professional services. Here's another scripture, Mark, a little earlier. This is the one that's called Child in Their Midst. Mark 9, 36 to 37. And then again, he's taking a child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, again, taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Our values, and we're going to talk about these later tonight and tomorrow, in the next two talks that I have, so I hope that you're finding this helpful or worthwhile and you come back. But we're going to talk about demonstrating compassion and cultivating gifts and encouraging creativity. Play joyfully, which is sometimes hard for board members and people that are in business to understand why the Children's Aid Society would have a value of playing joyfully. I should tell you, we do art and play therapy, so it makes sense. But we also want our staff to play at what they're doing. We want to work together, and we want to act professionally. I talked about the Francis Leiter Center, which is an outpatient counseling center in Franklin County in Chambersburg, established in 1986. Last year, we served over 77 children with 127 hours of art and play therapy. The Lehman Center, as you can see, we're one of four crisis nurseries in the state and one of 90 in the country. We were the first crisis nursery in Pennsylvania. Started back in 1987. In 1986, child abuse was the number two killer of children in York County, and we were in response to that to reduce. We served 145 newborns through age six and provided almost 30,000 hours of care to those kids. 2,890 responses to our hotline, 127 kids in counseling, family advocacy, 101 with 9,975 hours, and then we served 275 parents for almost 1,300 hours of parent support groups. And then the Nye Carey Center in New Oxford, we do outpatient counseling. a new ministry, well, not a new ministry, but a ministry we're rejuvenating there is God's Closet. We're on the verge of doing a $56,000 renovation for God's Closet to make it more user-friendly, adding some dignity. Right now, our clothing bank is in bins and boxes. I don't know about you. I don't buy my clothes out of boxes. I usually buy them on a rack, or my wife orders them online. Maybe that's the better way to do it, right? And so we're going to create a store-like atmosphere where foster families and children can come in and get clothing and shop the racks just as if they're somewhere else. And right now, our children go out with tall kitchen garbage bags with their clothes in. We want to get shopping bags and give them a shopping bag so they go out with that dignity, just like any of us do after we buy our clothes and have that experience. And this is the home to the CS administrative offices and services. Actually, we have raised almost $20,000 for the $56,000 expansion. In-kind support, you may see some people in the middle up top there, you may know. And one of the great things you all do for us here is you do the stuff the van, you know, stuff Jane's van, and we appreciate that so much in how you support us. But we also have golf tournaments, people paint for us, people do blanket, give us blankets, all those kind of things that just help us support the Children's Aid Society and support the children we serve. You may or may not know that the scriptures that I use today are part of a gospel tradition. And it's kind of interesting when you talk about threes. You have Pastor Eric, you have Pastor Eric, and you have Eric. And these gospel texts come out of what we call the synoptic gospels, or the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And believe it or not, these same stories about children, maybe in different wording. Luke talks about the babies instead of the children. And there was discussion about whether or not the children that were being brought to Jesus were young children, or were they older children? And in the times of Jesus, does anybody know how valued children were? How valued were children were, do you know? They were valued as workers on an agricultural farm. They were valued probably as strongly as an animal was to pull a plow or do something like that. They didn't have ranking in the patriotic world of Jesus, okay? They didn't. So the disciples were probably just reacting to their context of where they lived. And were just like, these are children, Jesus. You shouldn't be hanging out with them. You should be hanging out with us. And maybe that was part of it too. Maybe part of it was that they might have felt that the children were taking something away from their time with Jesus. And I think about my own life. Are there times in my own life that maybe my children or somebody else's children may have caused me to defocus on what I planned in my life? I don't know, like a son deciding to move on a weekend I was supposed to be somewhere else. But Jesus says, let them come to me. Because in doing that, if you welcome them in, you welcome me in. And in welcoming me in, you welcome the Father. I want to tell you a story about Dan. Dan is one of our crisis workers. Dan's an IT professional by training. And Dan works with us on the weekends, does a 12-hour shift once a week with us, and comes into the nursery. I believe that Dan embodies what we're talking about today in the scripture, in his work at the center in his everyday life. One day, a little girl walks up to Mr. Dan, and she has a book, because we have a reading area. That's where you see all the little emojis. I guess, is that emojis, beanbag chairs? And the kids can grab a book, Cat in the Hat, and we call it the book Story Shore. And the little girl takes the book up to Mr. Dan and says, Mr. Dan, will you read to me? And Mr. Dan says, sure, honey, I'll read to you. And she says, can I sit on your lap? And in today's world, our first reaction is, I don't know if I should let that happen. I don't know if I should put this child on my knee and take her into my arms. Because what will the world think about that? But Mr. Dan says, sure, honey. And he puts her on his knee, and they begin to read the story together. And he gets to the end of it, and he says, and they lived happily ever after, the end, and closes the book. When he looks up, the other six children that are in the nursery that day are standing in a line holding books to be read to and to be held. My second Mr. Dan story that empowers and tells this story This is one of our bedrooms at the crisis nursery. And as you can see in the back, there's Scooby-Doo sheets. Our crisis nursery rooms are done in Scooby-Doo. And for those in the room that are in my age bracket, I'm not talking the new Scrappy-Doo stuff. I'm talking old school Scooby-Doo, Freddy, Daphne, not this movie stuff, the good stuff, right? That's how we're done. And the kids love it. They love our Scooby-Doo bedding and rooms. And one day this little girl goes up to Mr. Dan, grabs his hat, and takes his hat and runs upstairs into one of these bedrooms and sticks it under the blanket. And Mr. Dan says to her, Mr. Dan says, honey, I need my hat. You know I can't go home without my hat. Now, Mr. Dan wears a baseball cap in summertime, a ski cap in winter. In the in-between months, he wears something else, a fedora maybe. But she took his hat and she hid it on him. And when he said, I need that to go home, she said, I know. I want you to be here in the morning when I wake up. So children come to us like they come to Jesus to be held. Children come to the Children's Aid Society like they did to Jesus because they want to wake up with an adult in their life. My final Mr. Dan story is of our playroom. Our playroom is one of the coolest rooms in our whole center. It has every toy a child could probably want to play with. We have ball pits and we have sand, much to our staff's chagrin. We have castles and dollhouses and stoves and you name it, we've got it in this room. And Mr. Dan, the one day, has a little boy and he says, buddy, look at all this. What do you want to play with? And the little boy looks Mr. Dan in the eye and he says, anything you are willing to play with me with. So like Jesus, children come to us because they want somebody to play with them. They want somebody to be there in the morning when they wake up. They want somebody to hold them in their arms. This is the Luke scripture. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The last thing I want to tell you about is I've set up 5 things that your church can do to help the Children's Aid Society, or you individually can do to help us. And I was thinking about this last night, because as I'm going to talk to each church, I kind of evaluate you and do your report card. Many of you know Eli was our past president emeriti, as I refer to him, Mr. President. And coming from a school district, so doing a report card is something we do. So let me share with you your report card here at Buffalo Valley. 1, we ask you to pray for our ministries and our team. And I hope that you're all doing that. That's a simple thing where you can continue to pray for us because the work that our staff does is difficult work. Just like Jesus and the disciples, what we do every day in our communities is difficult work. We work with children that are living in poverty, whose parents are struggling with all the things we sang about and saying that the Lord is the solution to this problem. And in this ministry called Children's Aid Society, we believe prayer is a very powerful thing. So please, pray for us. Pray for our ministry. 2 is, you can invite me to come and speak to you and talk about our ministry. So you got that. 2 for 2. 3 is, conduct a drive to collect items from our wish list at cas.org. I don't know, have you guys ever collected stuff for us? Yeah, you have. Vans and vans and vans full. 4th thing is, you can support us financially through your annual budget or come to one of our events, like our auction on April 24th at the 4-H Center in York. And I saw how you guys know how to bid. And I'm expecting, Pastor, that your daughter can come. There's flyers on the table. Where's your daughter at? Here you go. Right here. Here they go. So come out to our auction, come out to our golf tournament, support Children's Aid Society and the work that we do, seriously though. And then the 5th thing you can do is just to volunteer. And I have to tell you, you have a core of volunteers that have volunteered on our board. Janet is now on our board. Eli has been on our board. Jim is on our board. I'm probably missing people that were on the board over the last 105 years when I wasn't there. But people, you have served us and served Children's Aid Society in this ministry well. Thank you, good and faithful servant. And finally, I think the only thing to do is to say this to you. A child wrote this And I think that, again, when we think about letting children come to us, there's a lot about this thank you. It's not polished. It might even be said it's not beautiful. Maybe the color choices are not correct. But it has the beauty and the simplicity of a child just saying thank you. And although I can't bring a child from our agency here and stick and say thank you to you, I hope this says this. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for this ministry known as Children's Aid Society. We thank you for the Church of the Brethren and Buffalo Valley Church as they continue to support this ministry in serving children. As you have called us through the Gospels and Scripture to let children come to us, to allow them to sit on our knees, to wrap our arms around them, to bless them. Because in welcoming them, we welcome you. And in welcoming you, we welcome the Father. Blessings upon this group of people gathered here this morning. And we just ask that you be with them as they go out into their daily lives in their world. And just remember maybe a small glimpse of what we talked about here today. That not only are we to support the children, but they too are children of God. And they are loved by you and your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.